My guest has had some of the largest evangelistic tent meetings in history. His victory is won or lost the afternoon before his meeting with a very surprising supernatural prayer. Next. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Go and flow. My guest, Mary Morello, has seen thousands of people saved, healings, radical deliverances, and so much more. Mario, what do you do the afternoon before the great miracle service?
Boy, you went right to it, Sid. The afternoon of a tent crusade is the most sacred time of my day. My wife, Michelle, agrees with me. She protects me. Everybody wants me to see the city, try this out, look at the sights. But I have a private Gethsemane every single day of a tent crusade. And when I'm alone, it's an emptying out. Because without, there's nowhere for the anointing to go as long as I'm still in control. And we see children healed of paralysis. We watch. In fact, we're making a film about three of the healings that happened in our tent. I only reference that because they're actually going to be doctors involved in that Wonderful. Documentary, the doctors of the patients. If Jesus Christ cannot defeat me, then I will not be able to defeat sickness. And the interesting part is that I believe the victory is won before I get to the tent. I see the healings, I see what's going to happen, and we are more than conquerors. So I literally will win every vital victory that I'm going to see in the tent before I get there.
Tell me again that vital prayer you pray before the meeting.
Well, I ask Jesus to search me. You know, in Psalm 51, it says, you desire truth in the inward part.
You used a different word when you were telling me about it, to defeat me.
Yes. Jesus has to defeat my flesh. And it's a daily process. You know, Paul said, I die daily. And so this idea that we've come up with, that's it's actually we're producing a generation of young people that are biblically illiterate and incapable of understanding self-denial and serving versus God is into me, God is like a cosmic butler that gives me everything I want. The idea of being emptied by God is central to every major miracle evangelist in the 20th century. They've all said the same thing. It's only recently that we changed the narrative. And I think that's why we're powerless.
Your most recent tent meeting, how many people were there?
5,000.
You are building a city. So how many years have you been doing tents?
This is our fifth year. And we have actually built a national volunteer army. People that travel from one coast, we have them coming in from Europe and Australia, and they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed. And the other thing I want to mention about a tent, Sid, is that we can put it right next to a crack house.
You like to go to those down and out areas.
I can't stand a regular crowd. You know, my ideal audience looks like the bar scene in Star Wars. See, that's my crowd.
Well, Mario, you had such a radical experience to know the Messiah.
Yes.
Tell me a bit about it.
Well, I was saved in San Francisco, and I was in high school that was racially torn. A lot of people don't realize that the 60s were just as explosive on campus as this is now. In some ways, even more so. So our campus was racially divided. And so in that day, I was dared to go to church. They said, you're a Marxist. You don't believe that God is real. Why don't you go to church? So I literally sat there and said to this man, young man, my classmate, I said, let me tell you what's in your church. There'll be a handful of old people gathered near the halfway point of the pews, and there will be some songs that nobody sings anymore. And I was absolutely right, because he dared me to go, and I walked in, and that's exactly right, except for one notable exception.
What's that?
Seven members of Teen Challenge from New York were there that night to put on a presentation. And since I was from the inner city, David Wilkerson's ministry was nothing I knew anything about. And when a young man stood there and said, I was on heroin for 7 years, and Jesus took me off, I knew all about addicts, and I had never known one that ever got off drugs. So I'm sitting there, it might as well have been Lazarus. I couldn't believe it. I'm trying to wrap my mind around, how did you get off drugs? And all of them had, seven of them. Well, at that moment, a voice said to me, I want you to preach the gospel. The problem with that is I didn't know what the gospel was.
You didn't even know the word gospel.
I didn't know. I'd never heard it. And here I am. I'm just turning 16 years of age. And I hear God say, I'm calling you to preach the gospel. And I thought that was rather, presumptuous, considering the fact that I wasn't a Christian and didn't know and believe he was real. That's when the conviction struck, something that I wish young people could feel today. Something gripped me so forcefully that I had to be saved. I went forward, got saved, and the next morning the devil tried to kill me. Less than 24 hours after I was saved, the devil tried to kill me. America is down to this. We can no longer see revival as the best thing. It is now the only thing. It's the only thing.
No, there's not two choices.
And you know, and I'm going to tell you that we have to have the glory. It's no longer just a wish. If we want freedom to stay in our nation, no politician, you see, I'm going to get in trouble, but Donald Trump cannot save America.
You're not going to get in trouble. Okay. No man can save America.
No man can save America. No political answer can save America. Do we vote? Yes. Do we see the differences in policies? Of course. We have to have the glory of God revealed, not in a church building alone, but in the city center, when everyone's looking, and a sudden explosive outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And right now, it's the only thing. What Donald Trump will give us is time. That's what I believe.
You had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues at a David DuPlessis meeting. But the thing that excites me far more than that was you going to sleep at a Catherine Coleman meeting. And what happened?
I was 18 years old. Catherine was coming to San Francisco for one of the first times. And I got there an hour early, thinking to myself, Sid, that that was early enough. When I got there, the line was around the block. And I knew I was never going to get in. And suddenly, there was a side door where a janitor came out with one of those buckets on wheels, braced the door open to the Masonic Memorial Auditorium, and he turned around and walked away, and I ran in. I got upstairs, a horseshoe-shaped second balcony that was shaped like a horseshoe, so I decided not to risk going on the main floor. So I went to the side of the horseshoe where I could have a real clear view of Catherine, real close. And I sat down, and I'd gotten up so early that I fell asleep. And my head is on the banister, the railing, and I'm asleep. And all of a sudden, it felt like an electric current went through my body. And it was Catherine walking in the building. And when I stood up, I'm awake. She's singing and the choir's going and it's all. Suddenly, I look across the auditorium and I'm staring at a man and I know that he has cancer in his lungs. 3 seconds later, Catherine points to the same section and says, there's a man over there with cancer in his lungs.
Had you ever operated like that before?
I'd never felt anything like that. I was terrified. I thought, what is going on here? Then I look to the back of the auditorium, and when I look at the back of the auditorium, I know that there is a young girl there with epilepsy. I'm looking at her. Catherine points to the same section, says there's a young girl there with epilepsy. Well, it happened about 3 times, and I left completely transformed. There is a large, growing number of Christians who walk out of concerts, who walk out of Christian conferences, and they shake their heads saying, this isn't it. This is not it. It's something missing. We don't hear about the baptism in the Holy Spirit hardly at all anymore in church. We don't hear about it. And so I'm feeling it more and more and more, Sid, that people are getting frustrated. But it's like Matthew 11:12.
So there's about ready to be an explosion of this frustration.
And it's going to come from two sides. It's going to be a collision. One is the eagles who are right now in the turkey yard that are finding themselves frustrated, praying. They can't stop praying. They feel, God, I don't fit anywhere. I don't know. I don't like this group. I don't hate them. I just don't fit. I don't fit. I don't fit. And they got these deep yearnings that keep growing. On the outside, woke has devastated the emotions of millions of Americans. And when I give an altar call, they're running to God, not because I'm eloquent or even that powerful. It's because of the absolute total desperation, loneliness, and despair that is in their life. Now, these two powers are going to collide, fulfilling, once again, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force.
Now, Mario flows in the most accurate words of knowledge and sees amazing healings and deliverances. When we return, he's going to tell you shocking experiences with the power of God that will explode your faith so that you too enter the realm of miracles. Be right back.
We will be right back to It's Supernatural.
Are you ready for undeniable, uncommon miracles? If you think God's not powerful enough or that God is helpless or doesn't care, you've got another thing coming. Mario Murillo wants to bring God's fire into your life for these end times so you can literally become a spiritual weapon in the hand of God. Mario's revival book, Fresh Fire, and new 3-CD set are perfect for the times we live in.
The Lord said, there's two groups of people about to collide. Those that are in the church that are hungry for more, and then millions who are leaving woke because it has failed so bitterly. It's threatened their children and their sanity. And at that moment of collision, there needs to be teaching to help those in the church to skip all of the religiosity and embrace them. If the organized church does not wake up, it's going to be irrelevant in just a few years.
Call or go online at sidroth.org/9984 to make your donation of $36 for Mario Murillo's fresh release of his classic revival book, Fresh Fire, when you are finally serious about power in the last days. Shipping and handling is included. You will also receive his exclusive new 3-CD audio set, The Catalyst for Uncommon Miracles. And this exclusive end time revival package is just for you. You cannot get this anywhere else.
We now return to It's Supernatural.
I want to hear about how the devil tried to take Mario out. Actually, not too long ago. Mario, what happened?
Well, I contracted double pneumonia and a raging fever, and to the point where my wife looked at me and she was terrified, saw my face. I was to speak to 1,000 ministers in Batavia, New York, 1,000 leaders in Batavia, New York, and I had to call them and say, I'm going to cancel. I can't make it. And the poor pastor that was organizing it said, you got to, the people are looking for you. Then the Lord told me to go. But because of what was going on in the nation at that time, I couldn't fly on a plane. So Larry Rutledge, who's with me here, drove me all the way from Nashville to Batavia, New York. And I was in a state of, like, living death. And by the time I got there, which it was 15...
How did your wife even let you do this?
She went through more than I did. And she said, there's no way I can let you go. And God told her, he has to go. So when I got in the car to leave, I looked at her. I told her, you know, God is with me. And as soon as I left, the devil told her, you just killed your husband and you'll never see him again. And so she went in the next 48 hours, indescribable agony. I got there and I don't even remember what I preached. They told me it was good, though. You know, they told me, and
it'd be awful to go through all that double pneumonia, and they say that was the worst message I ever. No.
And so I was, yes, you're right. And I was awake most of the time. And when I got there, I had 2 hours to lay down. Then I got up, got dressed, went to the hall, and Larry and others were looking at me like they knew I was going to fall out any moment. And I spoke, I don't remember what I said, fire of God falls, which I found odd. I'm saying, God, you're falling on them. I'm right here. I'm right here. And I turned around, drove another 15 hours to get home, described my symptoms to a doctor on the phone. He says, give the phone to your wife. He said, he's not going to make it through the night if you don't put him in a hospital right now. So I ended up in Brentwood, Tennessee, in the Williamson Medical Center. Great hospital. I went in there, and they were terrified by my condition. You know, my oxygen was in the low 80s. My fever was way above normal. I couldn't keep water down, nothing. And so I'm laying in that bed, and the power of God came in that hospital room. And you know, at that time, because of what else was going on, the nurse wore a total hazmat suit, right, with what looked like a space alien helmet. And I'm already half dead, and she walks in. And wake, you know, I don't understand why they wake you up every 4 hours when you need sleep. So they woke me up. And I was there 18 hours. That was it. They walked in, started taking my temperature, which was now normal. My oxygen jumped from like 81 to 96. And my blood pressure dropped to normal. I had no fever. I had no pain. And they couldn't let me go because they said, we don't know what's going on here. So I helped them understand what was going on, and I was healed by the power of God. Yeah, you know.
Tell me about the angry drunk man who brought his son with spina bifida.
You know, this is such a sacred story that before I tell you, Sid, I'm going to tell you, let's give God all the glory for this story. So here's this drunk man. 3,000 people show up to the Pasadena Civic Auditorium. 1,000 people didn't get in. It's about 100 degrees. And I'm wondering how this drunk got on the front row. I'm wondering if my ushers, what's wrong with you? This man is on the front row. He has a 10-year-old son. His name is Henry, and it's little Paul. And so Henry is on the front row. And he's telling his son, don't listen to him, he's a fake. And you know, when a guy's drunk, he doesn't know how loud he is. But the whole place, I'm preaching and I'm looking around, well, how did he get in here? So then I went on and I tried to ignore him. And I looked down there and there was Henry, 10-year-old boy, and an older lady. And I realized, how did this drunk, why did he bring his son? And I realized it was Grandma. Let me tell you something. Missionaries can pray. African apostles can pray. Their intercessor. But the devil fears Grandma more than anybody else. Yes, he does. Now, we move on to the miracles. And God is healing people. All of a sudden, Henry grabs his little boy with spina bifida. His legs are like sticks. He can't walk. Holds him up and starts screaming, what about my boy? What about my boy? Sid, I felt like a total failure. At that moment, I lost control of the meeting. I just knelt down on the stage and just began, put my palms down, and I began to weep. And I think sometimes the greatest gift is the one we don't want. It's total desperation. I cried out to God, and I said, God, if I never, ever see a healing ever again, please reveal your glory. It felt like lightning struck this little boy, and his legs began to bicycle in the air.
Really?
So violently that Henry couldn't hold on to him anymore. So I'm on my knees. He plants the boy on the stage, and this 10-year-old who couldn't walk runs into my arms.
I want you to pray for people that need a miracle right now.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who heals all your diseases, who forgives all your sins, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Let the anointing leave this studio and go all over the world, Lord, and let the phones light up with the reports of people in intensive care suddenly healed, reports of alcoholics suddenly delivered. And Lord, reveal your glory according to Isaiah 64:1. Oh Lord, that you would rend the heavens and come down that your enemies might see your glory. I thank you, God, that wheelchairs are being empty, cancers are vanishing, and God's power is released in the name that is above every name. Do it, Lord. You know how dark our time is. You know how heavy the load is. The discouraged pastor, the single mom that doesn't know where, how she's going to raise that child. It is time for Jesus to visit America in a mass and powerful way. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
And Lord, thank you. Someone's wrist has just been healed.